Season 4, Episode 3, Yes, We Have No Cannolis. It opens with Simone getting stopped by a guy named Mel to start off the famous faces quickly. The guy who plays Mel is Michael Potts, who some may know from The Wire as Brother Muzzone. That was crazy, because I knew I recognized his face, but he is a very, very different character in The Wire, and it was crazy just to see him. He tells Simone that there is a dude locked up named Daryl Bolin, who did not commit the crime he was in there for, and he wants Simone to look into it. It happened before he even got to the 15th, and he says he'll look into it and help the guy with a job some point tomorrow. In the conversation he had with...
Do you really think he helped him with a job?
Maybe. I think he probably just referred him to, like, a good place for ex-cons to get work.
Fair enough.
I have a feeling he just was like, hey, that's a... this place that I recommend is a good place for people who came out of the system to get work. But I don't think he, like, sat there and talked to him about it.
Okay, fair enough.
He comes into the station, and he goes into the bathroom where Sipowicz asks about the case involving his building with the girl that got shot through the peephole. He says that he's talking to Savino later, but they're really keeping him separated from it. And then James comes in to let them know that he won the election to be the delegate, and they all like give him like a cool high five and a hand and a thumbs up. And then Greg comes in because he bought him a fake newspaper headline, which is going way too far.
Yeah, dude, because he's like, he has a boner for him.
I think you mentioned it last week, and I didn't think about it at all, but it's just him finding a new way to put his passion into something because Donna's no longer around.
Yeah, and like his passion is, he puts it in people.
And... what's his name? James said that he called Greg at his apartment before he showed up, and Greg apparently went and made that newspaper for some reason. Vince,
I mean, if Greg was doing this shit for women, he'd be getting laid all the time.
He'd be a Simone level ladies man.
Like if he called Donna like the night before and was like, "Hey, did you get the apple?" that the newspaper made, she would have blown him at the precinct.
Oh, man. Then he would have had sex with two women at that precinct. Vince comes in, and he's pissy, and I don't know if he's supposed to be drunk, because I think they allude later that he was drunk, but he was a dick, and basically carries on, and he says, like, yeah, just throw it away to this guy, whatever, it doesn't matter to me. Then he goes to talk to Andy, and Andy says, I did vote for you, Vince, but I feel like a dope for doing it, and you carrying on like this.
I love Andy for that, because he's very straightforward with things like that.
And they said, now pull yourself together and go home.
And then doesn't Vince do a thing? He's like, say it ain't so, Andy. Did you vote for me? Or something like, doesn't he ask to see if people voted for him?
I think so. And then, as he's leaving, he said, with exception for Andy, any of you day tour guys could, if you're expecting my cannolis ever again, you're dumber than you look.
Yeah, now he's just being a fucking child, because he didn't win.
Yeah, and he bones out, and then it's the beginning of the episode, which, this is NYPD Blue Balls, where I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, go through every single episode of NYPD Blue, the best show ever. And here is the theme song to NYPD Blue. When we come back, Sipowicz and Simone talk about the case that Mel talked to Simone about. And Sipowicz lets him know that it was Harper's case, and Harper took 3/4, which I guess is 3/4 disability pay, for an accident.
Yeah.
Sipowicz mentions that the accident was like a 5-mile fender bender, and now the guy got 3/4 his pay to just do nothing. Savino comes in to talk to Simone about the other case, and when he does, there's a cool nod because Sipowicz thanks Savino for his kind thoughts about Andy Jr. Because
they do a really good job during this season of, you will see later other characters that come in who've been there before will like say like, hey, I hope you got my card for about Andy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that.
And they do a really good job of linking characters to situations that if you're a fan of the show, you'll remember because you've been there since like the beginning. So you see characters talk about this, like situations that you're like, oh yeah, that was in season two or that was in season one.
Yeah.
They do a good job of referencing that. What Savino talks to Simone about, I'm going to leave later so we can talk about the main story, which is this Bolin guy. Sipowicz looks in the old files, and the two eyewitnesses that were involved in it, because the case was a ripoff of a stove factory that has to pay in cash, we find out. So these robbers ripped off the payroll department, and then in the getaway car, they killed a woman. And it was a hit and run, and so the guy was a dude they picked up later, which was Bolin. Sipowicz looks at the case, and he sees that the two eyewitnesses that made the dude who they caught later are still in the precinct so they can go look for them.
Convenient.
Fancy comes in with the root canal finished, and he's clearly annoyed, and his face hurts. And he walks in, and they run the idea by Fancy of possibly reopening the case based on what this guy said, and they're going to go look at the witnesses. Then, as he passes them, Fancy goes up to James, and James basically says, hey, I won the election. He goes, great job, James. And he says, hey, I just let you know Vince is a little salty about it. There's no hard feelings, but just in case it's mentioned. And Fancy basically is like, yeah, I don't really care about that now, James. Don't worry. Don't worry about it.
He didn't give a fuck.
And he walks into his office, and then Greg is like, I'm getting the paper framed. And then Greg and James share this moment where James is like, well, it doesn't look like Fancy gives a damn about it. And he's like, well, you know, he had a sweet tooth. I'm sure he was a Vince Scatelli supporter. And then they start joking, and he's like, the man just had a root canal. He's in pain. He doesn't give a shit about this. He wants
like,
to...
And, like, relax. It's just union delegate. It's not fucking president, you know?
Just calm the fuck down. Simone and Sipowicz talk to the first witness, which is a guy named Theo Witowski.
Mike Witowski.
That guy's a famous face. You might recognize him. He is David Margulies. He was the mayor in Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah.
Mayor of Ghostbusters, Mayor of New York. Lenny.
Is that Julianna Margulies' dad?
I don't know. That might be something to look up. I'm not sure. But he tells the guys he picked the dudes out of a lineup because he was limping, not because he recognized his face.
Yeah, which is crazy.
And he said that he was convinced it was him because the detective gave him a thumbs up after he pointed him out. And then immediately he starts to get remorse where he's like, oh wait, did I put the wrong guy in there? And they're like, no, we're just checking up on it because something has come up in the story. And then as they get in the car, Simone's like, well, we're going to have to reopen this case. And Sipowicz says, oh yeah, we're going to make a lot of friends. And Sipowicz mentions a story where he was looking at the mug books, and he said that he could tell that Harper kind of, he fixed the mug books so that it would be Bolin. He had a feeling just by the way he was doing it. And then there's a scene that I wrote so many notes on because so much happens. There's a scene with ADA Cohen, and he comes out, and he's just dickish as ever. And he says, don't they keep you guys busy enough? And Sipowicz says, why are you taking a survey? And Cohen said, look, man, the people who prosecuted that case still work where I work, and they're pretty pissed off. I had to fly through a lot of flack to get here. And he said, you see, that's why we sleep easy, Cohen. No, and you're up in the fighter plane. Then Gina starts walking up the stairs, and Cohen says, where is that working? Martinez, who is walking by conveniently, said, what did you just say? And the guy says, excuse me? And then Martinez and Gina start talking about the election. Because he's like, I did win. And she's like, oh, I got a toast to your cup. And he and Cohen introduces himself and interjects and says, I'm ADA Cohen, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, nice to meet you. How? She's like, oh, I'm Gina. How are you? And he goes, I'm fine. And Martinez says, that could be temporary, him being fine, because he needs to learn some manners.
Yeah, no one likes him.
And then she leaves.
And they were going to go after him, too.
And then she leaves.
Like, Martinez was going to whoop his ass.
He was so fucking heated. And then she walks away, and Martinez says, do not refer to her with that kind of attitude, understand me? And he goes, barely. And he starts to walk away. And Simone goes, see, now that was pushing it. To Cohen. And then I believe he says to Martinez, cool? Cool, Martinez? Like, kind of being like, hey, you're not going to go beat someone now because you're upset, right?
He's going to kick his ass, man.
They find, like, the conversation they have before Cohen comes out is that Bolin is in town for the funeral so they can go talk to him. Because his brother had died, so he's in the tombs in that precinct.
Convenient.
It's a very convenient episode, the way they wrote it.
Yeah.
And then after that, Gina comes up and says, hey, the little twerp with glasses is here for Simone. I put him in the coffee room so people don't have to look at him. It's a scene where, like, so much happens, like, there's so many cross-sections, because then Martinez is like, I'd like to beat that guy. And Sipowicz goes, the line starts up on 4th Street.
Yeah.
I want to talk
this
about...
This is an episode where, like, Sipowicz is like, this is why we like Sipowicz.
Yeah, he's all over it in this one. I've written so many quotes from this episode, and most of them are Sipowicz.
Yeah.
But, oh my gosh, it's so good. Simone has a meeting with Henry, which we're going to get to him in a minute. But after that, they go to see Bolin, because he's in the tombs. They ask him some questions... And then once Bolin figures out that they're trying to exonerate him, he gets, like, way overjoyed and happy and super thankful, which is like, yeah, he might get out of jail, so of course he's happy. And they're kind of just brushing it off. They're like, yeah, you know, we're looking into it, whatever. And he reveals the reason he was limping is because he was shot because he was in the coke game and a deal went wrong, and that's why he was also wearing a bulletproof vest.
Yeah, and it's, like, kind of funny. It's another one of these where they have the wrong guy, but he still did something wrong.
Yeah, so, like, oh, well,
it's supposed to make the person's mind, the viewer's mind, it just justifies, like, why he's there.
Where it's like, oh, well, he did deal coke. He was involved in coke, so it's not that big a deal that he was in prison. But not for murder, because he didn't do any murdering. They're like, okay, we're looking into it. We don't think you did it. Do you have any idea who did it? And he gives up a name immediately. He's like, it was this Bluford guy. I know it. This Bluford guy is the guy who did it.
Yeah.
So then they leave him. Simone and Russell go to dinner. I'll leave that for later as well. And the next day, Simone and Simplis talk to Mr. Stoltz. And Mr. Stoltz is the old security guard that also named Boland. And he just admits straight out, I think I did it because his brother works for the plant and I recognize that. He's like, I thought about it for years, but I didn't want to change my story because it would make the case look bad. And I figured other people had pointed him out too.
Yeah.
So they have completely enough evidence to turn over the case and make it right. And then Harper comes in, the original guy on the case.
Yeah, he is a bag full of dicks. He comes in like an asshole.
He comes in hot. He comes in very hot.
Doesn't he mispronounce Simone's name?
I don't know if he does that. He just... He sees Andy, who is with another guy.
Yeah.
And he goes, who's this Simone guy who's ripping up my old case? And Simone goes, I'm Simone. And he goes... And why are you doing this? He's like, it looks like you put the wrong guy in jail for it, and we're just following up. And this Harper guy, because I wrote down his quote, because it was amazing. Well, see, I was an actual detective, and you're screwing up my case. I cleared. And then he said, I don't need a chauffeur to do my job for me, basically. And this is a reference to Simone.
He drove for the mayor.
Because he used to drive for the mayor. This detective... He was not a famous face to me, the guy that played Harper.
However,
when I hit his IMDb, Because I thought he did a good job for who he is. He's supposed to be a hard-nosed asshole who is an opportunist and a dickhead. He is played by a guy named Bo Starr, which he might be recognizable if you're really into the Halloween series, because he played the sheriff in Halloween 4 and 5. I mean, he was in two of them, so he must have been semi-important in those movies. I haven't seen them, but...
Not a huge fan.
Yeah, that was the top of his IMDb, so I imagine he was a big part of those movies. And even though this won't come out anywhere near then, there's a new Halloween now, so there might be people who know who he is because of Halloween. Then Harper goes through the reasons it was him, from the eyewitnesses and relationship with a guy who works there, stuff like that. Simone gives him shit for the accident straight to his face. Basically saying, yeah, and you got 3/4 time, or 3/4 of your pay for a 5 mile an hour fender bender,
and yeah, he gives it to him right, or he gives it right to him.
And then Harper looks at some Sipowitz and says, "Is that what you told him?" He's like, "No, I told him it could have been 6 miles an hour, but the point is we're working the case. You got it wrong." And then he's like, well, I want to be updated. I want to know exactly what's happening. And then I believe Fancy comes out and says, good, go home and wait by your phone. Then Sipowitz and Simone go to the prison where Alvin, the other guy who was caught immediately, is. I think this guy did a great job, the guy who played Alvin. Basically says, I'm not helping Bolin at all because he was upset I never helped him to begin with.
Yeah.
Because if I did, it would implicate me as part of the robbery, and I thought I could get off. So, right after we were given guilty verdicts, he cut my face, and there's a giant scar on his face. They said they want to make it right, and they might give him some compensation. And they said we give him money at the commissary, and he goes, is my face worth $200?
Because yeah, fair enough.
That's a very good point.
Fair enough, yeah.
And they said they can get him a transfer upstate so he could see his family. And he said, okay, for that, I will tell you it was Larry Bluford. And I guess Larry Bluford happens to be in the same prison, says they bring him in next.
Convenient.
And in between talking to both of them, they talk about the weigh-in, which was weird. A weird thing to bring up right before this guy gets in.
Yeah, that was a really weird plot point they keep hammering home.
Then they bring in this Bluford guy who's from the South, and he says he's from a little town in Arkansas, and Sipowitz said, is that where our blowhard president grew up? Which, very fun way to remind us that when this was out, President Clinton was in office, and we know the controversy he was involved in, and how minuscule it is compared to what we deal with now.
Look, dude, he may have been getting BJ's in the Oval Office, but at least the budget was
balanced.
And surplus or balanced.
Hey, well, that's because he was, you know, it's easy. He wasn't tweeting in the middle of the night because he was relaxed and there was no Twitter. So they talked to Larry Bluford. He says he's not going to say anything unless he gets something out of it. And they said, well, you're not going to get any extra time. And we can probably get you something. He jokingly asked for conjugal visits. And Sipowitz is like, well, where does your wife live? He's like, I ain't got a wife. He's like, because I wrote down that quote too. That could hold you back some. They work it out to get him to a work farm rather than prison. Because he's from
he says he's from the South and he wants to be working.
And they say they could get it if they can work it out with the DA. That's what they'll get for him. They come back to the station house and do another lineup where the security guard names the right one. And he also asks if they could give a sorry to the guy, to Boland. He's like, could you tell him I'm sorry? And then he points out the right guy. So,
but doesn't he also say, if I see Boland out in the world, I'm going to cut him or something like that?
Oh, Alvin says, if I see that dude in the real world, I'm going to kill him. And then Bluford said, did Alvin give me up because you know we're in the same institution? And he said, you won't be because you'll be in a work camp. And they don't sway him off of the idea that they found out a different way, which I think would be smart to be like, hey, we found out through different means. No one ratted on you.
Yeah.
But they don't do that, which I don't know why they don't, but they just don't. So they bring in Harper again. Harper is just a bitch when they give him the news in Fancy's office.
He's the fucking worst, dude. The worst from the get-go.
And they say, hey man, sometimes you mess up. And the guy's like, this is bullshit. You're gonna take away my case because this chauffeur got it.
He keeps calling him a chauffeur, which is fucked up.
And then I think, I don't know if it's this point or the point earlier, but Simone tells him, like, you know, I got my gold shield before I took that job. And I did it because for separate reasons that you don't need to know about, but I got my shield before then.
Which is crazy. I forgot about that.
They're bitching back and forth. Sipowicz mentions, like, yeah, you did that mug book with Boland and midgets and humpbacks.
Yeah.
And then Harper continues to bitch. At one point, Simone says, keep mouthing off, Harper, and I'll make their 3/4 legit.
Oh, yeah. And Simone's scary when he gets like that.
I mean, we mentioned it in the episode before when he got angry with Henry, and he like put him up against the wall. I was like, he's gonna fucking kill that man.
Yeah,
it was.
Oh yeah,
it was nuts. And then basically they tell him like to get out. Fancy's like, you can leave, and he said, I'm ashamed I ever worked for this job. And when he walks out the door, Sipowicz says, yeah, I guess that makes it unanimous. Fancy sits down and. Sipowicz, just to like talk to Fancy about something else, he mentions like, oh, your face still hurts? And he's like, yeah, I feel like I got a good hard right. And he mentions some boxer, and Fancy says, wow, had to go back a while, huh, Andy? A white heavyweight who can actually punch? And yeah. the look on his face was like, ha, I got him. And then Sipowicz kind of like makes like this, like, oh, well, aren't you cute?
Yeah. So it's kind of like, motherfucker.
Using my racism against me. Bluford comes in, and he's just ecstatic, and he's like shaking everybody's hand, and he's super happy. And he tells Diane, he's like, these guys have saved me. And she's like, well, they're good guys. And then, because James was volunteered to drive him, they're like, hey, James, are you ready? And they're like trying to fucking shoo this guy off. And then the second he gets out of the room, Sipowicz is like, so you figure in a week he'll be selling dime bags? And Simone is like, I'm just trying to get him to not sue Harper. And Sipowicz says, dude. And then Sipowicz says, why ruin a distinguished police career? And it's like, wow, like, fucking so harsh. Like, they just
basically... It's so funny how racist it is. It's like, cool.
And they tell him... Hey, you know what? You want to thank us? Just make sure you don't end up back here again. And he's like, oh, no, you don't have to worry about that. I'm going to the employment office. I'm getting myself a job. I'm never coming back here. And Andy's like, hey, if you're ever putting on a bulletproof vest again, that's the hint that you're in the wrong crowd. And it was like, give the dude, like, some kind of hope. Like, shit. Like, you guys are so hard.
Yeah, he's been in prison a really long time. I think he might have changed. He's a little bit older now. Give him a shot.
Then Greg, like... Wow, then Greg slinks over and he's like, drumroll, Andy, it's weigh-in time.
He's the worst.
And Greg, they go to weigh in and Greg is gloating because he won. And he's... And you know that I am a person who loves a good pun.
Yeah, of course.
And in this episode... He says, I think the Stairmaster gave me a slight leg up. And then he's like, you see that, Andy? I made a pun. Slide up, slight leg up with the Stairmaster. And I was like, dude, the point of a pun is not to tell people and explain it.
I know, right?
The point is to drop it like a hand grenade of shame and humor. And everybody either hates it or loves it. That's the point of puns. He ruined it. Metavoy then tries to, like, touch Simone on the back, or Sipowicz on the back. And he's like, let's not get all touchy-feely, all right, Metavoy?
Metavoy's a weirdo, dude.
And then they step out of the bathroom, and he immediately brags to Simone. Where he's like, we lost this many pounds, and I lost this many, and he lost this many. And Simone's like, that's great. And Metavoy's like, yeah, we're very enthused.
I can see why Andy was so hesitant to do the whole thing with him anyways, you know?
Yeah, because he was going to be on it all the time, and like, telling everybody. When it's like, it's just a personal thing between me and you. Like, and if you remember at the beginning of this season, Metavoy was like, you keep skipping the weigh-in, you said you were gonna do it, and now you're not doing it. And he's like,
whining about it.
And then once they do, he like turns into a fucking like
a giddy little bitch.
Simone goes downstairs to talk to the guy that sold the woman who died in his building, the dog. He talks to the dog seller, and that guy's a prick from moment one, because Simone was like, I just want to talk to you about why she wanted to buy the dog. And he's like, well, what, are you working on the case? He's like, well, no, I own the building. You're probably going to be called by Savino. And he's like, well, if I don't need to talk to you, why am I talking to you? And when Savino comes to talk to me, I can tell him to talk to you about it. And then he walks away. Which was like, fuck, man, you don't need to be such a dick about it. Like, we're trying to figure out why this woman died. Like, you can take some time out of your fucking day.
No, but at the same time, though, you know, like, it is his case. His name's going to go on it.
Well, no, what's his name? Not Savino, the guy that sold the dog.
Oh, sorry, got confused. My bad.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
We haven't talked about the Savino case, like, because Savino does talk to him. I didn't talk to him about we didn't talk about the specifics yet. But he wanted to talk to this guy to see if he could figure out why she wanted a dog if she had enemies.
Yeah.
And then the guy gets pissed that it's not the actual detective, and he's like, it seems like he's more pissed that he had to come into New York, which is, like, insane. So the guy just fucking runs off, and Sipowicz offers to pretend to be Savino to call the guy, and thanks for his cooperation, because he doesn't think there's an opening there. And then they have a heart-to-heart, because I think Sipowicz knows that something's going on with Diane. And he's like, well, I don't mix my apples and my oranges. And then Simone just kind of like looks and agrees. And he's like, and he says, I start going with fruit descriptions. Generally, the conversation's losing. Wow, I wrote that word so small, I can't read it.
Kind of like your dick.
Wow, thank you. Generally losing, I guess, steam or something. They fuck with Vince because Vince comes in and he apologizes for being a dickhead. He then says he's going to use this extra time not being a delegate to probably get some of his thoughts and his stories together to write a book, I guess.
Yeah, he can't write.
and then to be a dick, Sipowicz was like, you should put some recipes in there. And Vince is like, I'm not throwing it out, maybe.
His cannoli recipe, that's what should be in there.
Yeah. So, the other thing that's going on has to do with Henry and this building. Savino comes in to talk to Simone, and Savino reveals she had no enemies to worry about, and neither did this Henry guy, according to Savino talking to both of them. He says that Henry really wants to talk to Simone because he feels like Simone thinks he was involved in this. I don't know why he would. He only used the phrase, someone's going to shoot me through my people, and then that's what happened. Simone's like, I know he was involved. I know he had something to do with this. We just got to keep running it down. And he's like, well, he's not giving me anything else. He wants to talk to you. If he gives you any new information, can you tell me? And he says, sure. Halfway through this episode, Henry shows up to the station house. And it sucks because it's Willie Garson again. It's Sex and the City, famous face. And he does such a great job of being a completely insufferable asshole. He's basically like, look, I didn't do anything. I'm just tired of people thinking I was involved. Like, I feel like I'm responsible even though I'm not, and you should know that I'm not. And he's like, okay, well, do you have any other information to tell me? And he's like, no, but I'm not involved, and this isn't me, and I didn't get the place, and now my life's in shambles, and it wasn't going great to begin with. And it's like, okay, but do you have any fucking new information? And he goes, no. And it always seems like Simone is really just on the verge of just beating the shit out of him because he's so annoying, but he knows he never can. He goes to his place again, and he mentions something to the effect of, because he was supposed to meet him again, which gets called off so he could talk to Diane, which is another great Diane moment.
Fucking Diane.
Because, let's talk about that. They go to a dinner. She says, I miss you. I missed you. He reciprocates. He's like, I missed you too. And then he does what I said, because I want to read what I wrote down, because I feel like it's exactly what happened. Then I wrote, Simone breaks down her fear and tells her what's going on. Because he basically just says, you're worried that I fell in love with the lights and the show that you've put on, but I fell in love with the person behind the curtain.
Yeah.
And you think that once we get engaged and married, it's all going to fall apart and I'm going to want to leave. And that's not the case. And she just fucking leaves. Like, that seems like that's what happened. He's like, they're like, I missed you. He's like, I missed you too. And she's like, well, how do we get back to that? And he's like, well, I think what happened is you rejected my proposal. You did that because you're worried about this. And then she goes, well, you don't know anything, and bye, and leaves.
Yeah, it was very, very weird. Like, that, like, it went like 1 to 100 so fast.
And I feel like the scene was Simone kind of giving like a Hail Mary, like, this is me going for it. This might get me there. And then she just gets up and leaves, and he's like, well, I guess that's it. So he tips the guy really good for taking up the table. And he goes back to the bar where I think he was trying to get a hold of Henry, who's not answering his phone. And then he goes back to the bar, and there's a bartender there, and I'm not kidding. That bartender is not a famous face. But I just clicked on her name. She was in Mystery Men.
Really?
She was one of the girls in Mystery Men that was that girl gang that Casanova. Frankenstein gets together. He gets together all the gangs in the town.
Yeah, the not-so-goody mob.
Yeah, and the frat boys and the Yakuza. Like, yeah, it was insane because I was like, I don't think she's been anything, but I'll just click on it for fun. And then it was seriously like Mystery Men. That was her top credit. And I was like, holy shit, that's awesome.
That is awesome.
But what's weird is he goes up to the bartender. He's like, can I borrow your phone? And then they look at each other, right? They give each other a look, and she says, the night is young. I was like, Jesus, if she thinks that they just broke up, she's getting in there quick.
Yeah.
She is just, I need to get on top of this now. Like, I have gotten on the ground floor of some great real estate, and I just need to move in.
Yeah, 100%.
And he basically goes, no, I think I gotta call this guy and listen to his phone ring for an hour. And then he kind of gives her a look that I thought was him going, damn it, Diane. If you weren't around, I could just be cleaning up New York. I could just be running wild.
He doesn't really want to do that. He still wants to fuck.
Wait, what do you mean? He doesn't really want to do that.
He doesn't really want the bartender. He still wants Diane.
Well, yeah. It's just, I just mean he, I think he just had a moment where he's like, I could be running New York ladies. I could be doing it, but I'm not. The end of the episode, he goes to talk to Henry. And he has that line where he says, no, I get it, Henry. You gotta call out on one of our meetings and then make it to the second one. And then he admits slowly, like, okay, I owe money to Shylock's. This is their name. This is where they hang out. I only took their money because I thought I was getting the building. I don't know if they did this, but this is them. And he's like, I'm so ashamed. And Simone gets right up in his grill and fucking, like, turns on the screws.
Oh, dude, Simone was gonna strangle him.
Simone was, like, unhinged. And he said something to the effect of, you should be ashamed, because that girl got killed for doing absolutely nothing. As he's leaving, oh, and their names, just if it's important, Al Solstrey and Steeny Leone, and they run a pizza shop. And as he's like, I was too ashamed to tell anybody. I couldn't believe it. I was just too ashamed. I couldn't tell Savino. And then he yells in his face. Then he starts to walk out, and then he said, I'm so ashamed again. And he just turns around and goes, shut up! And then he closes the door, and then we get the credits. Is there anything you would like to talk about? I think we went over everything. It's probably the most notes I've written for an episode, which is strange.
Yeah, it's just interesting, like, how nonchalant they kind of were about this guy being in jail who wasn't supposed to be, you know?
Yeah, and it's the same thing that happened last episode where they're like, look, he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
The system railroaded a bad guy. So it's not as bad of a railroading. And you also mentioned something I did not even think about, which is the convenience of where everybody is.
Yeah.
All the guys are, like, Boland is in the tombs for his brother's funeral, and the other two guys happen to be in the same penitentiary and still around. A lot of convenience.
Yeah, it's crazy, but, I mean, it has to work out a little bit.
Oh, man, I forgot to mention something from last episode. That's kind of... Because Gina, at one point... Gina and Sipowicz have a moment where Gina says, "You're looking good," and he's like, "Okay," and then she said, "But I thought you looked good before," and Sipowicz kind of turns around and is like, "You know I'm married, right?"
Yeah.
And she goes, "Yes, I do," and he's like, "Okay," and then, yeah. And then moves on. But, oh my god, the episode last time, oh my god, Jerry, because Vince brought in cannolis, like, the episode of this one is "Yes, we have no cannolis." He brought in cannolis when they were running for the delegate. And Jerry, when Sipowicz walks in, she looks at him, and then she goes, "I love cannolis. I just suck the cream right out of them."
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that. Wow. That's, you could.
And then doesn't Sipowicz say something later on, like, she's talking about cream, sucking cream.
I don't think he mentioned it, but it was like, Jesus criminy. You cannot say that in the workplace. Because.
Yeah, she went ham on that one.
Because, I'm going to say, like, when someone says something that could be sexual harassment, like, all you have to do is say what the innuendo meant, which is, "Hey, Jerry, thanks for letting us know you want to suck the semen out of Sipowicz's dick. That's something all wanted to know about as we were working today." Oh, God, that was gross. Anyway, on that note... Every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AsherBrosPodcast.com, iTunes, Stitcher, where you find a podcast. We're on Twitter, at AsherBrosPod. We're on Instagram, AsherBrothersPodcast. We're always talking about NYPD Blue. Shows are every other Tuesday, unless something comes up. And thanks for listening.
Later.
Bye. Thank you once again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. Apology there, I was talking about Jerry towards the end of the episode. Jerry is the one hitting on Sipowicz. Gina is the one who's hitting on James. And I don't know why I keep messing up their names. I think it's because they're so similar to each other, and they have basically the same jobs in different parts of the show. Anyway, if you need more NYPD Blue fandom in your life, you can check out True Blue, a book written by one of the creators and creative consultants about the first couple seasons. You can check out Gene Kendall's book, An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue. It's a fan talking about the entire series, much like we are here on NYPD Blue Balls, but that's just a book for 99 cents on Amazon. If you need to watch NYPD Blue itself, you could check out Hulu or Amazon. Two awesome streaming services that have tons of sweet stuff to watch other than NYPD Blue. So check out either one of them. You won't be disappointed. Thank you for listening to this. Thank you for watching NYPD Blue. Go watch more of it, because it's just that darn good.